Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to episode 77 of A Wild Podcast Has Appeared, the official Pokemon podcast of comicbook.com. I am one of your hosts, Jim Biscardi, and as always, I'm joined by Christian Hoffer and Megan Peters. Welcome back, everybody.
Hello.
Hello.
It's a big week this week.
You know why?
Oh, man.
We get to talk about Halloween.
Oh.
I thought we were going in a totally different direction, Jim. You know, I was, you know, here to celebrate the reason for the season, which is, you know, undead, ghosts, skeletons.
Where am my Gengar shirt? What represent?
You know, elaborate costumes. For those of you who are, you know, only listening to the podcast and not wearing the video, Jim is actually dressed up like Gengar. His face is entirely purple.
It is more reason for people to check the... check out the video.
He's got big ears and he has, you know, he's shirtless.
That would have been fantastic.
All purple and his eyes are painted onto his chest. So, you know, Jump into the video to check it out. Anyways, yeah, it's Crown Tundra week.
It is. I've been playing the ever loving life out of that game right now.
Basically all I've done for the last week.
Same.
I've really immersed myself in Crown Tundra in a way. There are a lot of things I like about it, and there are a few like weird little like nitpicky things that I have had there, but overall I thought it was great. But we're not going to talk about that now. We're going to talk about that in our deep dive, because first we have to go through some headlines for the week, then take a break, and then, like I said, we'll talk about Crown Tundra. So let's jump into the headlines, because I have a lot I want to talk about Crown Tundra, so I kind of want to not necessarily not give the news items the time that they need, but can in a sense where, you know, they are informative for everyone listening. So we'll start with
Jim, breaking news. We have breaking news. It literally just got posted an hour ago. We are getting a brand new Charizard Pokemon trading card. Ladies and gentlemen, get out your wallets and get ready to spend some big bucks, because we have another Charizard card that is hitting the market very soon, in just 3 weeks.
What is it?
It's a standard Charizard card.
Oh, like,
not even a shiny or a rainbow rare. It is a good card. I will say this. It is Leon's Charizard. They don't call it Leon's Charizard, but it's Charizard with Leon in the background, and his main attack grows more powerful for every Leon that is in the trash. I mean, the discard pile.
Wow.
It looks like a pretty good card. People were making fun of the recent Charizard card speculation market, because, you know, right now, if you haven't been listening to our podcast, Charizard Pokemon cards are basically the new, like, gold standard. You know, people are literally trading gold bars for Charizard cards because it's seen as a more stable commodity. And so now, you know, Pokemon Company is like, we have a new Charizard card.
I mean, they might as well milk it while it's hot. I mean, just go all in. So.
I honestly think they should just release a new Charizard card every single set. Anyways, breaking news aside, I just, you know, I literally just saw that. Pokemon.com posted the official preview for Charizard. And I was like, oh, we need to get this in here because that's all we've talked about for the last month is Charizard cards.
Yeah.
So back to our regularly scheduled content.
Pokemon Go Halloween event is live.
It's here.
Your special Pokemans?
No.
Still looking for Ponyta. That's
so am
really
I.
All I care about. I cannot find one.
I got the notification that like, oh, it's added, and I thought like, and I felt like that first notification was it's available during a spotlight hour or whatever, or something like that. And so I like kind of went looking for it, couldn't find it. But I did get, I saw a ton of Farfetch'd though.
Mm-hmm.
I did not like the fact that like Ponyta only popped up for 24 hours. They gotta stop doing that.
Yeah. And like that's the only one I care about, and I still don't have one. So unless they decide to put Ponyta back, I'm out. I'm done. Halloween's over. Canceled. Canceling Halloween.
No. Yeah, no. The Halloween stuff, I think it's been a good Halloween is always one of Pokemon Go's best events. Like, in my opinion. I mean, that was what really if you go back to, 4 years ago, which just seems like a lifetime ago, Halloween was Pokemon Go's first ever actual event. It was like, the first time that we could see really what Pokemon Go had to offer beyond just the, AR and catching Pokemon in the real world and, the servers being down constantly. So, I do like that they continue to make a big deal of it. I really wish they could have figured out a way to do the Galarian Farfetch'd and the Ponyta incorporating that, but you can't get what you want, I guess. I mean, I'm sure Ponyta will come back in some form. I think they're still available in the 7 kilometer eggs. So, which, is just a crapshoot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Did you catch any of the costume stuff? I have so many Mimikyu Pikachus that I know what to do with. That's really the only one I've seen.
I got a Gengar in a raid.
Oh, okay.
Ooh. Yeah. So I managed to grab one of those. I haven't gotten the Litwick Sableye yet. Even though they're supposed to spawn in the wild, I just haven't.
Yeah, I got a normal. I've seen normal Litwicks. I have not seen costume Litwicks yet, at least. So we'll see. All right, and then also on the Pokemon Go front. Oh, is this the new section? Just all Pokemon Go this week? Okay,
it is. It's been a weird week, mainly because Crown Tundra.
Well, yeah, because Crown Tundra. We've got a lot to talk about in Crown Tundra.
Oh, yes, so much.
Yeah. Magmar and Electabuzz, like community days, where like had I not gotten my Magmar earlier this year, I'd be really excited for this. But I also don't have an Electabuzz, so I am also excited for this. Still excited for this.
I mean, there you go. It works.
Yeah. And you'll get lots of shinies, maybe. I mean, knowing Jim, he'll forget about it.
Stop. No, I won't. Not well, the Electabuzz one is okay, but I'll probably still go for it. I did end up getting the Magmar. The Magmar one's actually pretty funny. I like how the yellow has been replaced with pink.
Yeah.
It's actually, it's not a bad looking one.
What does shiny Electabuzz look like?
I'm sure it's like a shade of green.
Let's see here. I think you're right, but let's.
Oh, no, it's orange.
Oh, that's actually a pretty cool looking one. That's looks a cool like a freaking pumpkin.
Yeah. Oh, that's a great one, especially for this time of year. All right, there we go.
You know that your comment about terrible shinies does lead to an interesting point that was discovered in Pokemon Home / Pokemon Crown Tundra. I was going to bring it up in the Crown Tundra section, but we can talk about it now.
Yeah.
They changed the shiny form for Combusken.
Yep.
Oh yeah, I saw that.
So he's got these like deep red pants now, instead of so Combusken, when it first came out, it basically they reverted it back to its original shiny form. When Gen 4 came out, I am really having trouble talking today. When Gen 4 came out, they shifted Combusken, so he was kind of like another one of those like gold Pokemon, and he basically was one of like the hardest to distinguish shinies of all the freaking Pokemon. Like, it was impossible. So they changed it so that now you know, Combusken's top half is a really pale, almost like cream color, and mm-hmm. his bottoms are like this dark, dark red. It was fun. You know, they also added some new shinies too, which have not been made publicly available yet. But you know, mm-hmm. so the various weather forms for cast form now have yeah. shiny forms, and Magearna has I think the original form Magearna has a shiny form now. So those cool. all got found in Pokemon Home. No way to get them, but you know they're also there.
Yeah, no, for sure. All right, and then lastly on the Pokemon Go front, before I guess we'll, you know, we can spend a lot of time talking about Crown Tundra, is we're getting a Pokemon Go event, G-O-H, Go from Pokemon Journeys.
That is the greatest thing, because all I could think of now was like Pokemon a Go-Go. Like, that's the only thing I will refer to this game as. But yeah, basically we're going to get Go kind of looking clothes that your avatar in Pokemon Go can get. So as I have coined, Pojo is coming to Pogo because Journeys. Aha. I'm amazing. You're welcome.
Yeah. I'm not a fan of this event.
It's only a matter of time until we get Leon, because then like our avatars can have on Leon's cape, which is kind of what I want. And I want there to be like an in-game avatar of like Leon, like when he like puts his hand up to the sky.
We'll get the Leon pose. I don't think we'll get the cape. Although, you know,
the cape. I want the cape.
Then we'd have to get other capes too. So, you know, Niantic better, you know, come in and be prepared to like add multiple capes, which, you know, you could do like the Drake cape. I mean, there's lots of Pokemon gym leaders with capes. But yeah, so this Pokemon Journeys event is being done to celebrate the move to, you know, over in Japan, Pokemon has a primo Friday night slot. Yes. And to celebrate that, they're doing a big Pokemon Journeys event. So Lugia is coming back into raids with Aeroblast. A bunch of Pokemon that have appeared in the anime, especially the first few episodes of the anime, mm-hmm. are making their appearances. And those include a few, they're mostly Pokemon that Go has. So like Scyther, Golurk, I can't forget the other ones, but
yeah,
they're all
too impressive, but yeah, it's pretty great. Also, if you are keeping up with Pokemon Journeys, this week began the Sword and Shield arc in Japan. So Ash and Go have officially laid eyes on Zamazenta and Zacian, and it was really, really solid episode. I'm really excited to see how they'll tackle it in the English dub when it comes to Netflix on a future yet known date.
Here's the thing. Like I said, I'm like the relative, I guess, newcomer back where, you know, to Pokemon Go. And so like, I, you know, the rate at which they're doing these events, like I feel like they're starting to, at least for this month, it has picked up a bit. And was, like we've said, October is a very, you know, is always a great month in Pokemon Go. And so mm-hmm. I'm really enjoying the heck out of a lot of the stuff. And so, and I like that the events come at a pretty quick clip that they get mm-hmm. everyone involved.
Or sometimes they're too quick. Give me back Ponyta.
Well, that's it. But I mean, like, I get the wanting Ponyta and not being able to get Ponyta and whatnot. But like, at the end of the day, it's one of those things where I like that they're able to make Pokemon special like that and have it kind of also be a story point kind of thing where it's like, you know, like it's been the story all along that Galarian Ponyta is a hard one to find. And so I kind of like that they do it like that. I mean, it's frustrating, you know, when I can't find one, but you know, am I heartbroken over it? No.
Oh, well, I am. That's
because, you know.
I'll just wait.
I will get it eventually, like my shiny Charizard.
I mean, the Ponyta is not that, you know, powerful of a Pokemon.
So. No, it's just a thing to have as opposed
it's
to.
It's cute. Looks like candy cloud.
Listen, no one is a bigger fan of Ponyta's cuteness than Christian Hoffer. let the record reflect this. I am a Galarian Ponyta stan.
Same. Welcome friendship, to the club.
Friendship with Kanto Ponyta is canceled. Ah. Galarian Ponyta is now my best friend forever. But yeah, it's absolutely useless in like literally all forms of the game. So,
yeah.
But it's cute.
All right, so we'll take an early break this time, and then get to our deep dive for the Crown Tundra review. So stay tuned.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
All right, Crown Tundra.
Luckily, there's not a lot of content to go over, so we will probably just end this podcast early, right?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
Look, I think at the very beginning, we should at least go through first impressions. And then from there, we'll kind of go through some of the other stuff. I already kind of, put my first impressions in the first part of the podcast, so I'll let you guys go first, and then I'll round back. So Megan, why don't you tell us kind of your first thoughts?
Well, my first thoughts were it's so easy to get lost in the map because it's so snowy, and I just kept losing all of my markers because there's a bunch of cemeteries and graveyards in the Crown Tundra that I just got lost constantly. So I was really using a lot of the flying taxis. But in terms of just enjoyment, whether or not my expectations were met for this DLC, Crown Tundra definitely exceeded what I thought was going to kind of come with this release. I think it's a marked improvement in comparison to Isle of Armor. I felt like you got a much better sense of story and plot line. I didn't feel kind of as willy-nilly. I liked having a little bit more structure that I could choose to follow or just deviate and catch Pokemon. And the Dynamax adventuring is super fun. Like, it's hilariously better than I thought it was going to be. I thought it was going to be kind of silly, but I really like the strategy that ends up being used in there. So I'm definitely a fan. I'm still playing it over Animal Crossing, which that takes a lot to happen. So I haven't played Animal Crossing in 3 days. I think I have weeds everywhere. So it's because of Crown Tundra. So I am definitely a huge fan.
Christian,
when you look at Pokemon Sword and Shield, and you include the Isle of Armor and Crown Tundra, I think this game has a strong argument as the best Pokemon game of all time.
Dang.
Like, it's not without flaws, but then again, we can literally say that with, like, every Pokemon game.
Yeah.
But I really feel this adds that persistent post-game content that was, like, previously missing. I like the fact
and
that
it's different.
It's really different. I like the the plot is just about as complex as you can get without, like, you know, like, introducing, like, attempted genocide by, like, an evil person. Like, you know, like, I like that it's a combination, like, kind of, like, low-stakes plots. I like the fact that they brought the roamers back. I like that the roaming legendaries were difficult to catch.
Yes. You know, oh, my gosh.
Things, those things, like, it took me, like, hours to chase down Moltres on the Isle of Arden.
Yes. Like, oh, my gosh. Moltres is the worst.
Like, you know, I really like, I mean, Dynamax Adventures, I could, I will probably be Dynamax adventuring up until the next game comes out. I feel like in different ways, both Isle of Armor and Crown Tundra really, I mean, for lack of a better word, it patched the holes in Pokemon Sword and Shield. And it did so in a very neat and rewarding way. And while it, like, it does annoy me, like, don't get me wrong, it annoys me that, you know, it costs $90 to get this complete of a Pokemon experience. And if you don't spend the full $90, you're stuck with a, like, three quarters of a game. That frustrates me a lot. Mm-hmm. But the economics aside, as a whole, you know, Crown Tundra really, for lack of a better word, crowns this Pokemon as a Pokemon game as a really solid entry into the franchise. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a game changer.
Let it not be said that I can't be positive about Pokemon. Jim, what did you think?
I loved the. It's weird because, like, it's hard. It's not hard to look at Crown Tundra on its own, right? It's got a ton of great things looking at it. But like you said, like, when you look at the game as a whole, it's such a it's not perfect, but it's as close to a perfect package that I think is that's keeping the game so much fun and incredibly interesting. In that, Crown Tundra is so different from Isle of Armor, which was mm-hmm. pretty different from the main game. And so to be surprised by the like those changes in a way that you know, makes you appreciate the other parts of the game, I really loved that. Now, Crown Tundra in specific, this is gonna be the as nitpicky as I probably get there, but like, I hate snow landscapes. Like, just in general. It's not even limited to a Pokemon or whatever. Snow landscapes in video games, period, I don't like. Mainly because I feel like snow covers a lot of potential character that you can put in a world. Like, I get it that, like, the snow is supposed to be the character, but, like, when you have such really cool vistas that we've seen throughout the game, you know, up to this point, I feel like that's really the only, you know, the real part that I feel like is missing from Crown Tundra. I love the puzzle aspect of the Dynamax adventuring. Mm-hmm. It makes you think, it makes you plan, in a way that, like, you know, I feel like it's a good entry point for people looking to potentially, like, get into the competitive scene in a way, where, because it makes you think about, you know, battles in a way that you wouldn't normally if you were to just, you know, grind your Pokemon up to level 100 and then just bury everyone kind of thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, there's more at play there, and the reward, I feel, is, you know, is a good one. And so like I said, like, overall, I really, really enjoyed it. I don't know where it goes from here. Like, do they continue to add to this, or do we wait for something else?
So, yeah. You know, I feel like, you know, just based on what Crown Tundra brings, like, adds to the Sword and Shield experience, I think we are done with Sword and Shield. Like, you know, all of the Pokemon that appear in that game are, you know, if you take a look, the existing Pokemon, the ones that were already in Sword and Shield that also appear in this game, they're all super rare Pokemon. Like, you're not going to see Dragapult You know, like outside of like one spot on one certain type of weather, you're not going to be able to find Dragapult elsewhere. You know, the game, that area is designed to be in-game content. So I don't really see what else it would really do. I mean, you know, the only other thing that they could really do is go outside of the crown, outside of the Galar region. And, you know, I feel like that is going to be whatever the 2021 game is going to do. So I just don't think there's a real strong reason to do anything else. I mean, because, you know, you have the Galarian Star Tournament, mm-hmm. which there's your, like, high-level battling, similar to what the Battle Tree, or even the Battle Tower, which we had in Pokemon Sword and Shield. So you have that. You have literally every legendary Pokemon. You have, shiny Pokemon. The easiest, this literally presents the best odds ever of getting a shiny Pokemon in any main series Pokemon game ever.
Yeah.
You know, that alone is just huge. Like I said, you have all these rare Pokemon running around. You literally fight a level 80 Pokemon in the game. You know, there's nowhere else for the game to go. Like, and while we can sit here and point out the flaws of Pokemon Sword and Shield, and they exist, like, let's be clear here. I am not, like, you know, trying to say, pretend this is a perfect Pokemon game. But I feel like from here, they have a really solid, you know, foundation of what they can do with the game. I mean, for God's sake, we had an open world Pokemon Village. In Crown Tundra. I mean, just imagine if we had actually gotten that in, like, you know, in the main Sword and Shield games. You know, like, that alone is freaking huge. And I like that it was, like, really challenging. Like, you know, I haven't been challenged that way by a Pokemon game in I don't know how long. Like, it took me 2 days to catch Galarian Articuno. Two days. Like, you know, I haven't spent that much time trying to catch a effing Pokemon since Pokemon Gold and Silver.
Yeah.
And you know, it wasn't even like a I came like ill prepared. Like, you know, that Articuno is made to be a butt to catch because it's got Psycho Shift. So, you know, it can, you know, you can paralyze it, you can, you know, unless you put that thing to sleep, it's not you know, it's not going to stay paralyzed or poisoned or anything like that. You know, it's got moves to just totally beat up your Pokemon.
Yeah.
Like, oh man, I had a hell of a time catching him. And he's got a low natural catch rate. Like, I think I spent like legitimately 200 Ultra Balls
in my quest of catching. Yeah, I eventually had to start resorting to the timer balls with those because I would just be in those matches so long. I was like, I've gone like 60 rounds with this Pokemon, just back and forth to try timer balls. Articuno, I mean, all of the birds, let's be real. I mean, Zapdos was fairly easy. I mean, you had to cut it off and it's fairly annoying because he is where he is in the wild area. I would just keep running into Pokemon and they would keep getting in my way on purpose. So I'd just like run into a Diglett and I was like, I have literally no interest in you. And I would one shot the Diglett out of frustration to get to Zapdos. Moltres was so difficult. I could not figure out. Moltres took the longest for me because I couldn't cut off Moltres in the Isle of Armor. But Articuno was definitely the most frustrating. With its hurricane, it just kept one-shotting all of my Pokemon immediately. Then I finally brought out a Tyranitar because I was like, I just need to get down its health just a little bit. And if I use Sandstream, it'll get it down like just enough. No, ended up killing Articuno and I couldn't find that bird for like 3 days.
Oh no.
Yeah, because it's the worst feeling.
It's
not a roamer in the sense of like how Moltres and Zapdos are. It's picks a spot and then you have to go through the freaking Crown Tundra maze to find the stupid thing. Yeah, mm-hmm. And like, you know, I had a problem with that too, where there was one go around where I started at the the tree at the top of the mountain, mm-hmm. and I worked my way down looking for that damn thing. And oh man, like, and I ended up finding it. I think they, and this isn't like 100% accurate, but they do tend, you know, Articuno does seem to like make spots not too far away from the various like Reggie temples.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I am really impressed by this. You know, like I, like the next thing is like, it's like, okay, do these, do this like DLC style content and now do it from the get go. Like, let's see them do that for like the next Pokemon game, you know? Like, let's see like a wild area that's not just like, here's a big freaking open field, have fun. Mm-hmm. You know, like I never want to see the Galar wild area, that style of wild area ever again. Like,
oh, for sure.
Like, they, the both Isle of Armor and Crown Tundra, like the you know, and I loved another thing. I loved that the caves in Crown Tundra sucked to navigate through.
Yes. I got lost so many times.
Mm-hmm. Like,
I got lost
like,
all the time.
It was like I was back in an old Pokemon game.
Plus, you know, they were like, filled with Zubats, which really made my heart happy because it was just as annoying. I was like, man, I remember how pissed off I was as a kid.
Oh, it was great. I loved it. It was such a fun... You know, I'm still playing it. I have played it almost every night since I've got it. I tried to do, like, a couple of Dynamax adventures. I still don't have my first, like, shiny Dynamax adventure. I did find out, like, an hour too late that the legendaries could be shiny, too. Uh-huh. So, you know, like, I, you know, luckily I already from, like, there was a distribution that they did years ago where you could get, like, the shiny legendary cats. So, you know, I'm okay having like a shiny, like a non-Chinese Suicune and a Entei. Like, so I got that one Entei. I have, who else do I have? I ended up getting Palkia and Reshiram and I'm blanking on what the other legendary that I got through Dynamax Adventures. But, you know, so none of those are shiny. So now I'm, like, trying to space it out. It's like, okay, what not, what Pokemon, what shiny legendaries do I want? So it's like, you know, kind of like, all right, I'm going to complete the collection because there's a handful of shiny, of legendary Pokemon that I do not have. I think, like, Gen 5 and Gen 4. And also Kyogre for whatever freaking reason. So I'm going to try to hold, you know, to fill my collection of legendaries, and then, you know, start working on shinies when I need them.
Yeah,
that's my plan.
Yeah, I have. I mean, yesterday, I finally caught Articuno, so I was able to like finish all of the like expedition challenges that you're given in the storyline. Mm-hmm. And then, like, I tried to keep myself as spoiler-free about what was happening with this game. So when it was announced that you found another legendary challenge, like, you find that that piece of paper after you finish the two main expeditions and the Ultra Wormhole opened, I lost my mind a little bit. I was so excited. So far, I've gotten Raikou, Entei, I have the Tapu collection, and Guzzlord. Guzzlord is the last one that I fought. He was awful. It was terrible. I like the first time I did it with that, because you can specifically speak with the daughter of the man.
Nia, I think her name.
Yeah, it was insane. I was like, I got this. And then Guzzlord just one-shotted me, and I was like, all right, well, fine.
But I think that's part of the allure, I think, of this, where I think a lot of people expected the legendary stuff to kind of be a walk in the park, because Isle of Armor was pretty much a walk in the park.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, it was so easy.
And like, and the raids, you know, are, you know, depending on what it is, are, you know, are generally fairly easy. And so I think going into Crown Tundra, it shocked a lot of people about, you know, like, they made catching the legendaries work. Like, yeah. it was gonna require some effort and some forethought, which I appreciate. Like, was it frustrating at first, being like, well, what the heck? Why can't I just get these? But at the same time, I was like, well, look at me. I just sunk another 4 hours into this game.
Yeah.
And I don't feel bad.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. One, I like the fact that, you know, you go through the work. You know, if you put in the work and you run the adventure the way if you're smart about it, you're guaranteed to get that legendary Pokemon at the end of it. It's not like they'll show you. It's like, okay, at the top, this is a fire Pokemon. And it's like, okay, is it Reshiram, where, you know, water attacks aren't going to be that great against it, and, you know, we'll want to bring rock type Pokemon instead? Or is it going to be like Entei, a pure fire type? Is it going to be Moltres, where you really want rock Pokemon? Mm-hmm. Is it, you know, going to be, you know, something else, in which, like, one of, like, you know, if it's Reshiram, you know, water type attacks aren't going to be all that great, because it's a dragon type, and dragon types are resistant to water types, so it just does normal damage. And so we went in there, and, you know, the group I was with was super confident, so we ended up with
That's a whole other aspect, but we'll talk about that.
Oh, this. Yeah.
Let's not get sidetracked. Christian, go ahead. Finish your story.
But, you know, so we ended up with three Pokemon with rock type attacks, and then Entei goes up. And, you know, none of us are actually talking to each other, because I just did random matching. But I like, literally, in my house, like, me and my son, we're both like, yeah, we're going to wreck this Pokemon. And we wiped him out before he got a chance to make an attack. And oh, wow. Like, you know, like, my son was like high fiving me. I was like, yeah,
that's great.
Like, yeah, it's like, this feels good. It's like, man, I am a competent Pokemon trainer for a day. But then there's, like, other ones, and this gets to your point, where it's like, if you're with a group, oh man, like,
that is, yeah. So that to me, I think, is one of the biggest critiques of Crown Tundra, is with the Dynamax adventures. Yeah. It sounds unfair to say, right? Because it's like, well, why can't everyone just get with it and, like, be better, right? but there are instances where, like, what makes it tougher is, you know, if you're playing, you know, you're playing on a team that is not, I don't want to say doesn't care or whatever. What I really have a bigger beef with is just, like, the being able to do it with friends process is still not as easy as it should be and as it could be.
That is the next thing that the Pokemon company really needs to fix, is their friend matching is awful. Like, yeah. I don't like the fact that, for instance, like, Jim, I see you playing and I cannot jump into your raids. Like, I should, like, I should be guaranteed to have, like, first go.
Well, I think that's hindered tremendously by the fact that Nintendo, as an online its online software, doesn't have a party chat system.
Yeah.
Even outside of games, right? Like, that's one of the things I love about the Xbox, and I don't know about the PlayStation because I don't have one, but, like, the Xbox, you can join a party while someone else is playing a game and, you know, talk to that person and be like, oh, hey, you know, like, you want to jump in this game together or whatever? And, like, you can do that easily, seamlessly. Mm-hmm. That is something that you cannot do without, like, mass text coordination. And I get, like, there are a lot of people who have a lot of Discords set up, and I'm sure are, you know, doing Discord raids and things like that. And so, like...
Well, they do have that Nintendo mobile app where, which basically you can, like, phone into each other using it. But no, I agree. It's a really bad, that is, like, the biggest flaw with it, because, you know, this would be something, like, you know, I genuinely wish that if I saw Megan and Jim online, that I could just, like, hop into their Dynamax adventures. Like, you know, it would be nice to know that at least, like, one or two of the three people that I'm playing with, you know, actually know what they're doing. And you know, like, I have yet to get through a full Dynamax adventure when we encounter or either start off with one of those freaking Hoenn starters, or when we encounter one and people are like, oh, I'm gonna get it. I'm like, don't you dare. Like, there's this big, like, get, like, you know, Mexican standoff that's going on, where everyone's got like, you know, it's like, like you see like the dots going on. I'm like, put those away. And then there's that one person like, don't you do it. Don't you freaking take Marsh Stomp. And then it's like, I'm taking Marsh Stomp. I'm like, we're going to get screwed. I don't even know what Pokemon we're going to come up against. You know, but we're totally effed. And sure enough, like clockwork, because those four are useless. And like, there'll be times where it's like, we'll go in, and I get that not everyone knows what like the rental builds are like. So they see like a Pokemon, like I was using Starmie, and it was like a Starmie that doesn't have like a water attack. And I was like, got two psychic attacks and a square attack, but this thing is useless against fire Pokemon. I mean, it wasn't because I had ancient power, but you know, it's like I could have really, really, you know, we had a good combo where it was like Pelipper. So, you know, Pelipper's Drizzle increases the power of water type attacks. And everyone looks over to me with Starmie. I'm like, I got nothing.
That's the best, but also the worst.
We had to start wrapping this up. But the one thing I do want to talk about really quick, Christian, before we get to our final spooky Pokemon fact of the week for the month of October. Christian, you want to talk about the Spiritomb stuff?
Yeah, so this one's a little, there is some misinformation going on here. Jim and I found out about this yesterday during our weekly gaming meeting. And like, basically, Spiritomb is available in the game. This is only the third time that Spiritomb has been available in the wild, you know, in a Pokemon game. The rest of the time, you either trade for it or it's available in the like, friend safaris. In order to get Spiritomb, you have to go to Balamere Lake. You need to find a tomb. There's a tomb that's underneath a tree, and it says, spread my voice. So you interact with the tomb, and then you need to talk with 32 trainers that, like, appear when you're connected to online. So you, like, talk to other people's characters. Not NPCs, other people's characters. And this is very similar. This is almost identical to how Spiritomb, you could get Spiritomb in Pokemon Diamond, Pearl, and Platinum, because in order to get Spiritomb in those games, because they were promoting their brand new, you know, DS connections, you needed to go into the underground and talk to 32 other people, like NPC, you know, other players' characters. Once you do that, you will go back to the tomb, and he'll say something like, my voice has spread, or my voice has been heard, or something like that, and then Spiritomb will spawn in the wild. So this is a really cool encounter. It is one of the biggest callbacks to a Pokemon game I've seen since Pokemon X and Y literally recreated Viridian Forest. Really, really well done. Like one of the best like Easter eggs I've seen in a Pokemon game in a while. Like I had, once again, I really like that this game, there's like a couple of things that they're just not going to tell you. Like right now, we know that Victini is at least coded into this game, and that allegedly there is a way to obtain Victini. No one has figured it out yet. Probably because it doesn't actually exist, but maybe it does. I haven't had this much fun playing through a Pokemon game. Like, I remember with Pokemon Sun and Moon, and it's like everyone knew everything about those games, like release day. Yeah. Sword and Shield, there are like five or six Pokemon that we didn't know like how to get, and it was awesome. Like, mm-hmm. you know, like, oh man, mm-hmm. this has been so much fun.
A plus.
Yeah. All right, Christian, Pokemon Fact of the Week. Let's do it.
We're going to end with a Pokemon Fact of the Week that no one has heard ever because this Pokemon did not exist until last Friday. We are talking about the new ghost type horsey Spectrier. Now, Spectrier is one of Spectrier is one of Calyrex's two potential steeds that you obtain over the course of the Crown Tundra plotline. And when initially presented, he's like merge because Calyrex rides him. The interesting Pokemon fact about this Pokemon is, if he kicks you, he will literally kick your soul out of your body, and you are reduced to a soulless husk for the rest of your days.
Gosh. I'm super glad that's the horse I went with now.
Oh, yeah, me too.
Oh, that's the amazing thing. That's
it
amazing.
Also only has one eye?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I just assumed that was because
it's basically a demon pirate horse, which is exactly why I wanted it.
My favorite thing is its hooves are not actually physically connected to its body.
Mm-hmm. It's so like Eldritchian horror. It's horrifying. It's an abomination. I love it.
Yeah.
It's my small,
Steve's son. Spectrier, kicks, will kick people's souls out of your body. Actually, I made up the, you'll be reduced to a soulless husk for the rest of your days, but it's implied.
Yeah.
Galastrier, which is the other horse Pokemon, not nearly as cool. It's just a bully. Basically, anything it wants, it takes by force, and it has a mask of ice that is harder than diamond. So,
the Pokemon in general is kind of a jerk.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Both of them are just meanies. But
only one of them can kick your literal soul out of your body.
Yeah, that's true. I feel like oh, this Pokemon is mean and it takes what it wants. Like, this Pokemon will literally doom your soul to wander the world. Like, we now know where ghost Pokemon come from. They are people who have had their souls kicked out by this Pokemon. Like, just imagine, because there's a scene in Pokemon in the Crown Tundra where this Pokemon only kicks, almost kicks a little lady. And boy,
oh my gosh, that adds so much. That adds so much flavor text to that moment.
It wow. Sure does.
Wow, that lady almost just KO'd out.
Yeah, out. Man. We almost had a literal murder in a Pokemon game.
Man, that would have been really unfortunate. Wow. I have so many questions about Calyrex and its steed's history. I just want more flashbacks of them.
I just love that, it just rides around on its freaking horse. It just cracks me up. That we'll talk about, we'll do more Crown Tundra stuff.
Yeah,
one, because
sure.
We have literally nothing else to talk about for the remainder of the year.
Yeah, we have so much to say.
So we'll do more. So actually, you tell us what we should talk about.
Yeah.
About the Crown Tundra. Mm-hmm. Go and reach
and
out to
you
us.
Can tell us by heading over to our Twitter account at PokemonPodCB.
Yeah.
Look at that. Look at that seamless segue.
Look at that. That was perfect. Nice setup. Thank you, Christian.
I got you.
Otherwise, you can find us individually. I'm at Jim Viscardi.
I'm on Twitter at Megan Peters CB.
And I am at Seehofer CBus.
I want to hear what everyone is thinking about Crown Tundra, so please do make sure that you hit us up on those platforms. Otherwise, if you like the show, leave us your 5-star review on iTunes. If you read it on the air, you get a special prize. And that's all we got for this week. So keep playing Crown Tundra, keep getting all those legendaries, and we'll talk to you next week.